introduce Mary Ann Condro. She has lived in the big city of Kodiak for just over a year now, after spending half of her life in the Southeast Alaskan community of Cake. She is a retired educator and now takes care of her two Kodiak granddaughters on her Mama Daycare days. It often includes a story in your head, which is very good practice for her storytelling interests. She recently returned from Kauai, where she gathered with family and friends for the Christmas holiday and had a very special wedding. Each gathering usually included a beach or a pool and a swimsuit and a few umbrella drinks. So therefore, if you find spaces of silence in her storytelling this evening, it may be due to jet lag or too much sun or one too many umbrella drinks over the past few weeks. So please welcome her onto stage.
He was a mountain of a man, bigger than life. Everywhere he went, his world was filled with love and light. The story I'm going to share tonight is about this, a mountain of a man and a little girl. The mountain man and the little girl knew each other indirectly for about 30 years. But then over the last 10 years or so, this little girl became a lifeline to this mountain of a man. The story begins in June of 2002 at the wedding of my daughter Karen in Washington State. She was marrying her friend Jacob, and family and friends were gathered there, and it was a great celebration. So after the wedding, my husband Leo and I, with some really good friends, took a road trip into Oregon. We went up the Mackenzie River and stayed in a rustic cabin. We went out to the Oregon coast and stayed there for a while and finished our journey near Eugene at the Oregon Country Fair. And then we began our journey back to Alaska, to the town of Cake, which is a Tlingit village that we had gone to teach school there for 2 years and stayed. At that time, it was 27 years. So we flew in the jet to Sitka and then caught a ferry. And during this journey time, Leo was starting to not feel very good. And he thought kind of maybe had the flu or he'd been traveling. So when we got back to Cake, he made an appointment at the clinic and went to kind of check to see how things were going. Well, the PA there wanted him to do a blood lab, a draw. And so they drew Leo's blood, but they have to send it to Sitka to be labbed. So they asked us to come back the next day to kind of check on things. And she thought, yeah, most likely you have the flu, Leo. So we came back the next day. The lab results were back from Sitka, and there was lots of red flags. So she had suggested that we go to Petersburg and see our regular doctor. And so we packed just a bag for the weekend. Leo had his cutoff extra tufts on. We took a small plane to Petersburg, went right to the hospital to emergency. Dr. Mark Tosillo checked, wanted again to do blood labs, and he gave Leo a physical examination. His lungs, he had a lot of fluid in his lungs, and also his spleen was about the size of a small football. And so the blood work, they did it twice. It had changed so much from the labs from Sitka that they did it twice thinking they must have made a mistake. So that evening, Dr. Tosillo came to our hotel room and said, "My suggestion, there's something big going on. My suggestion is you either go to Anchorage or Seattle." And Leo said, "Let's go to Seattle." So the next morning, we took the regular jet to Seattle and went right to the hospital, and Leo was admitted. They started right away with Leo on fluids, and they did a chest x-ray. And the next day, they said, "Well, he's got pneumonia." So they started him on a medication for the pneumonia. And then by the next day, he was really not getting any better, so they put him in intensive care. They had a lot of tests that they wanted to do on him. Now, one of it was infectious disease people, and they had taken samples of the culture in his lungs, and nothing had happened. So Leo hadn't been sleeping very well, and the nurse had said, "Well, tomorrow they're going to do another culture." And Leo said, "You need to do it now, because I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow." And so they came in, they took a culture, and that time, it takes several hours, but that time it cultured a bacteria called tularemia. And if any of you know of tularemia, it's also called rabbit Skinner's disease, and you get it from an infected animal. But in Leo's case, he had ingested it into his lungs, and so it's called pneumonia tularemia, or sometimes typhoid. And most, we met several doctors who said they'd never met a patient who was alive that had tularemia. So what needed to happen, the medication that they needed to give Leo, the number one medication they would give him, would also kill his kidneys. Well, his kidneys were already failing. And there was a lot of stuff going on. So what they did is they gave him the second drug of choice. And so overall, we were in the he was in the hospital for 17 days. I was there most of those times too. But for 17 days, and during that time, they put him on hemodialysis. And so when we left the hospital 17 days later, we stayed with my sister who lives in the Seattle area. And Leo continued dialysis through the Northwest Kidney Center in Seattle 3 days a week for 4 hours each day. The idea of us going back to CAKE was not likely. But during that same time, they started Leo training him to do peritoneal dialysis, which we could do in CAKE. And so he was having this training to be able to do this. Also, he was doing a workup to see if he could be a kidney transplant recipient. And so he was doing this workup at the same time. 110 days after he initially went into the hospital, we returned to CAKE. Both of us were school teachers. And Leo doing peritoneal dialysis was probably the best science experiment that his class could ever have. We can't continue along. Things were good. The one problem was kidney transplant recipient. They wouldn't put you on the kidney transplant list as long as we lived in CAKE, because we couldn't guarantee we could be to Seattle in 6 hours. So that's the time I decided that I would see if maybe I could be a kidney donor, and I did the same workup. At one time, I had 11 appointments in 3 days. My last appointment was a CT scan to make sure I even had two kidneys, because a lot of people only have one and never know. I did have two kidneys, and so we went back to CAKE with the idea of preparation that in June of 2003, I would give Leo my kidney. So when June came around, the operation went fine, and this is where Leo met the little girl. We called the kidney the little girl kidney, and she worked really hard. We had to spend the whole summer, multiple medical appointments, lots of drugs, and the little girl kidney held right in there. She was really, really good. We were able to go back to CAKE, and Leo and I both continued teaching that next year. He was not on dialysis, just had to take a lot of drugs. But and the little girl was doing great. Once in a while, Leo would have some kind of issue that went on, and then we'd have to call her the little bitch girl, and we did that. But she worked really hard. Then February of 2002, we had an incident in our house in CAKE. A friend had come over to watch a movie, and all of a sudden, Leo passed out. His potassium was very high. His hematocrit, the red blood cells, were very low. The friend and I gave Leo CPR. We brought him back about the same time the EMTs got there. And he had to be medevaced to Sitka, where they gave him 4 units of red blood, and then medevaced again, Guardian flight, to Seattle. He made it through. The little girl kidney was wonderful. And but after that time, Leo had to have a blood transfusion of red blood cells every 5 to 6 weeks. So we were spending a lot of time going to Sitka, to the Search Hospital. His blood had to come from Seattle because of his transplanted condition. We had some in Seattle, and we even had one here in Kodiak. But by January of 2014, it became apparent that we needed to be the majority of our time in Seattle, with just short visits to CAKE and Alaska. And then in March, the little girl kidney was continuing to work really hard, but Leo was very tired. He had a lot of chronic conditions, things going on that we just medically could not take care of, so we had some hard decisions to make. And Ben and Stephanie and my two granddaughters from Kodiak, they planned a trip in March of that same year to come to Seattle or come to Washington, not because their father was ill, but because we were welcoming our fourth granddaughter, Addie, to my daughter, Karen, and her husband, Jacob. And just 10 days later, on March 18th, 2014, as my Tlingit family of CAKE would say, Leo walked into the forest, and he took my kidney, that little girl kidney, with him, and so much of our heart. But the Tlingit people also have a belief that when a person dies, they really die twice. The first time they die is when their physical body leaves. And the second time they die is when we forget to tell their story. So I'm sharing this story tonight so that I can remember.